You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Thank you for listening. This is the IT in the D Show, episode 210. Guests this week include Jim Beiermeister. He is the proprietor of RMC. They are a...
Is he the beer master?
No, he doesn't like to be called beer. It's Beier.
Is he the gatekeeper?
He is the gatekeeper.
Key master?
He is the key master to all of our technology needs because he's got his basically ears to the pulse of the IT industry. We want to talk about it because I got some news coming up about the Pixel party that we need to talk about. And Jim's going to be the guy that's going to help us navigate through it.
Awesome.
Also, we are very, very, very lucky to have the entire ensemble of the Detroit cast. We've got Mike J and Biggie in the house. We're going to talk about us being nominated for
Well, let's make sure we have that syllabulum fossis correctly. It's Big E, Big not E. Biggie.
I'll call him what I want.
Biggie. not like Biggie Smalls.
Right.
The Biggie. Biggie. Well,
we both got nominated for the podcast awards, and we want Detroit to bring home the gold. So,
and we still don't know what that is.
No, we don't either.
We're nominated, but we have no idea what it is.
At this point, we're the Susan Lucci of these awards. Well, this apparently is our seventh nomination. We've never heard of them,
and it's well, we'll get into that later. Yeah,
all right. Exactly. Dave, fire one ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt. That's Gary. You're Bob. And you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit? Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything with that!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
I know. Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
Well, what is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony and Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pumpa Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hey, everybody, this is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead, a lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show. Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not so much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Jet Striker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys. Oh!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
I looked at the sun today, and I can still see. Go figure. This is episode 210 of the one and only IT in the D Show. We're broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in Studio One in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Captain Soundboard, Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is on assignment. But Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker, is it, in the house.
Didn't he go eclipse hunting, if I recall correctly?
I don't know.
I think he's in Nashville.
Find us online, itinthed.com. Like us on all the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, before we get rolling, so the single router Wi-Fi model just does not work for our increasingly high bandwidth world. What you really need is a distributed system like Eero. Whatever your Wi-Fi needs, Eero has the power to seamlessly blanket your home in fast, reliable Wi-Fi via Ethernet, wireless, or any combination of the above. Simply set it on a flat surface or plug it into a wall outlet to expand coverage into any room. Not to mention, with the addition of the third 5 gigahertz radio, the second generation Eero is now tri-band, and it's twice as fast as its predecessor, which lets customers do more in every room of their home simultaneously. With the addition of the new Thread radio, Eero can now connect to low-power devices such as locks, doorbells, and other sensors. Meanwhile, Eero Beacon is half the size but is even more powerful than the original Eero. Whichever model you choose, with Eero's incredible customer support, you can call and get a hold of a Wi-Fi expert in 30 seconds. Dude, you have this in your home.
No, what
I
people,
have this in my
what
home.
What people don't understand, it's not the Wi-Fi extenders from Netgear you get at Walmart for $20.
It's not.
Those chew up half your bandwidth, and they are just basically a single Wi-Fi port sitting in a plug. This is actually a distributed system like you'd get in a company that you get all the bandwidth in all the rooms.
Except unlike, like the wireless at Ford Field, you can actually access it.
No, they fixed that. but no, it was so easy. Like, as we always say, it's so easy. Even a Bob could do it. Like, I was up and running in 15 minutes. It's literally full. And it has not gone down.
Nope.
It has not hiccuped. The app is insanely intuitive in terms of we had Comcast in talking about theirs. I'm like, nope, Eero's is better. In terms of what you see plugged into it or logged into it.
Oh, I've got it all locked down now. So, like, my kids' devices can only connect during, like, an hour block throughout the day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just life. I want them outside doing stuff.
Right. Go.
So it's a thing. So here's the deal. So for free overnight shipping to the U.S. or Canada, visit Eero.com. That's Eero.com. Select overnight as the shipping option and enter IT in the D at checkout. That's Eero.com, Eero.com. Offer code IT in the D at checkout.
So, we got to kick things off with the eclipse, and it's social media has been a buzz, and everyone's been talking about it, and there's been parties, and people have traveled to go to parties
like Nuri,
and people are like going to like sitting on mountains, and I'm going to be honest with you, I had a lunch meeting, and as I left, I looked out of my sunroof, and I said, why is it so damn dark? And I'm like, oh, my God, the eclipse. And I looked out of my sunroof, and there it was. And
you didn't burst into flame. It wasn't like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. You didn't melt.
No.
Nothing bad happened?
No, and I didn't take a selfie with it, and I didn't take a picture of it and try to post it on Facebook because it would have turned out like crap. I looked at it, though.
Jay and I did too.
Right.
And we didn't burst into flames.
I got to admit, I glanced.
They told us we would be blind and like,
no.
What was it? Like through the middle of your vision, you would go blind.
I believe the phrase they used was burn the retinas out of your head.
Right. But you wouldn't know until it was too late.
Right.
It wouldn't hurt.
Would I know by now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd be blind.
Well, then.
We're not.
Then they were lying to us.
So what I thought was I'm looking out of my sunroof, moonroof, whatever. The moon was in front of the sun, so maybe it was a little bit of both. That it was UV protected, and I can look for as long as I want, even though I was driving. So it wasn't any worse than.
So instead of looking at your phone, which is what you're usually doing while you're driving,
right?
You were looking at the sun,
right?
Gotcha.
So let me. So let me break this down. Let me get this straight. As I'm looking at this, it looks like what the moon looks like every night, but backwards.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So it's like a crescent sun. We didn't get the full eclipse in Detroit.
No, it was apparently 78.3%,
right.
I believe, was the statistic
if you put the negative lighting or whatever, the negative photo, and you invert it, that's what you got today
Inverted?
Right, 8 minutes. But you can look at the moon all night in a crescent moon for all night.
Yes.
And it's the same thing.
Right.
But backwards.
Right.
Yeah, but the backwards one only happens every 100 years.
So what?
I saw pictures. I felt satisfied.
Yeah, I did too. NASA had some amazing pictures.
Or in 7 years.
Or in 7 years. Okay.
2024.
Well, the last time I remember it happening, this is where it gets really dumb. The last time I remember it happening was I was in grade school. Like the last full eclipse was 79, I believe.
Right.
I think I was 6. And I remember looking, putting my book bag – I remember this vividly, putting my book bag over my head and running as fast as I can to my mom's car because she's stressing me, don't you dare, Bobby, look at the sun.
Well, right? that's the thing that cracked me up is the difference now is like – because, again, that one, it was, you know, you don't look at it under any circumstances. You know,
except for driving your car through your motor.
Find a shoebox, you know, poke a hole in the shoebox, the reflection, all that fun.
But then what do you see? That was a dumb one. That was the dumbest thing. Piece of paper, poke a hole. Then what do you see? Like a piece of light on the ground?
Yes.
Like, ooh. Like,
man.
No. Come on, you can step in, Biggie. Like, tell me why it's a big deal, because I don't get it. Like, I really, like, there's guys going, hey, man, got some welder goggles from my buddy, looking at it. Like,
and apparently welder goggles didn't even fully protect you. They said that's one of the things they were trying to – that's the thing. Like,
and the 3D glasses do, though? Like, they were selling them on Craigslist for, like, $20.
Right.
That was like
they also
thing.
Told us masturbation would make us blind, too.
Yeah, that's true story.
That's true.
I do not have hairy palms. At least I don't think I do.
If you look directly at the eclipse while you're masturbating, they'll cancel each other out. And
right.
Very good.
Oh, thank you.
That explains a lot.
But, like, people are buying glasses. There's, like, mass hysteria, dogs and cats living together.
It was.
And I... great.
Dude, and, like, libraries were giving them out. Apparently there was a line around the block downtown at the library for to, like, take their turn.
I gotta take things into effect that I'm the guy that goes to the Grand Canyon like Clark Griswold and
right.
looks at
head bob, time to go.
Time to go. Like, that's it. Great. I'm out. Like, it does nothing for me. And I don't know if I even appreciate it. It's like the crescent moon, but backwards. It's not a big deal. To me, it's not a big deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've come a long way from the days of, you know, they were, you know, the portents of doom. And there were a lot of conspiracy theories that were floating around that it was, you know, it's yet again, the cults were all saying that the earth is still here. So they were wrong. It was a signal of the end of the world, the whole Planet X thing.
The start of the end of the world. I believe the end of the world is actually... What did they say, September 23rd or 24th?
Yes. I think you're right on
but
that,
But
this
was the start of it, was the eclipse.
Gotcha.
So, I mean,
so now
get your stuff in order, gentlemen.
Now Mumra's going to come back from the dead, and then we're all doomed.
Well, you know, it's like I said, you know, the whole, you know, Revelations, you know, sure. Basically just has a hearing problem because it was, you know, Trump Pence will signal the end of the world. And trumpets? No, Trump Pence. Trumpets? No, we're good. Yeah. They'll figure it out. We're fine.
Now we're on that bad thing. Let's knock out our only political story of the week, and this one kind of bothers me with the Department of Justice.
Yeah, the DOJ, came after a website that was organizing anti-Trump rallies and demanded, 1.3 million IP addresses from them?
Visitors.
Yeah.
Like, not just people that ran it.
Right, not the people that were logged in,
like
just every IP address that's in those web logs they wanted.
So let me ask you this. You got 1.3 million IP addresses, DOJ. What do you do with them?
Start running them through the databases that are housed at places like Velasys and finding out what they match up to would be my guess.
That's what I was thinking too.
Velasys.
Because again, yeah. I mean,
it's always about Velasys.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things.
Pickle people.
Yeah.
That's Vlasic.
Oh.
But no, I mean, it's like we talked about it with, like, every hack that happens. You know, it's not the single hack that's the issue. It's that, okay, with every new data set that's out there, that's one more block of data that they can now merge and have all that more information about you. So, I mean, it's the same thing. So, yeah, it's an IP address. And, yeah, you know, DHCP, and, yeah, you wind up with a new IP address and blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, it's shit because they could go back and figure out who you are, and that's kind of crappy.
Especially just being a visitor. You don't know if you're for the protest or against
could
the
have
protest.
Been just, I just wanted to keep an eye on
I just
them.
Wanted to read.
Yeah.
Because there's so much shit that scrolls, and I just click on lots of stuff.
You do.
Oh, God. Now, we searched some heinous crap preparation for the show.
And now you're on lists.
Oof.
Oh, I don't even want to know. I just openly admit, like, I search everything. I mean, everything.
Down the rabbit hole.
I go down the rabbit hole, and it's show prep. I call it show prep, but I can be in some really weird places.
So, you know, we have, like, the graphic novelists and, like, the horror writers that we know. They're like, oh, my God, you ever want to get freaked out? Look at my search history.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny how a story – you can be reading a story, and it's like, I want to know more about that. Who's this guy? And then you go down the hole, and it's like, ooh, that guy's a really bad, like, child porn freak.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, you're like – well, what did he do then? I need more of the story. And yeah, it's like, oh my God, my Google search looks awful right now. This is not good.
See, my thing was I worked for a data center in 97, 98, and I had full access to steakandcheese.com and consumptionjunction.com, which at the time was the holy hell of the internet.
And really? And had steakandcheese.com?
Yeah. Yep.
It was a thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's still
what was
a
that,
thing.
What was that playing off of?
I have no idea what that started.
Okay.
Consumption Junction was What's Your Function, right?
Sure.
And then there was Ernie's House of Whoop-Ass, which is kind of like a tamer version of all.
Well, and Ogrish and a bunch of the other ones. Yeah.
Ogrish, but like, I've heard of.
You got to pull down these videos of the unspeakable in real time.
Like death or child porn?
No, not child porn, but just like just the grossest of the gross of the internet.
Yeah.
It just all in one spot. It was all like – it was all legal. Like it wasn't like you weren't looking at anything not legal. But you saw it all in real time.
Ugh.
So like half our day consumed of like so I don't like today I'm white I'm washed I'm I nothing like I don't look at any of that crap because I've seen all of that.
What is it like murder death that kind of
every,
is that what
matter.
You're talking about?
Doesn't matter.
Well, like, you know, like
I still can't look at any of that.
Oh no, stuff. Like I remember I made the mistake. The like Nick Pearl was the first like publicly.
I've never seen it. Don't read
the beheading video, and I made the mistake. Death. I made the mistake of watching,
which is
it.
Totally fake. I bet
there's, and they've come out. The documentary that came out that announced that was all fake.
Yeah, it was.
So they really didn't eat monkey brains.
No, they didn't.
That's the guy you that bounced what? On the concrete. That kind of come on.
Look at the names on the credits.
Okay,
of that. When you
like
see him,
IP freely, like stuff
yeah,
like that.
Totally. Oh. It was like Dr. Death. It was like God. Why didn't I notice that when I was 12? When I watched,
I remember that, but I thought it was just they're trying to be a non.
No. But there are real like remember the like race car on the track and runs over a guy. Like that's real. That's a real video. But the monkey thing is totally fake. I know.
That was the whole. I had nightmares. That was like worse than it for me as a kid.
I know. Seeing a family sitting around that table with that hole in the table with the monkey's head.
The hammer.
And the hammers.
Like a walnut.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fake. Sorry. Anyway, sorry to ruin your childhood.
Let's go to. Let's move on to data security, shall we?
Sure.
So this is an interesting one, and so right in our backyard of right in Michigan here, it's in Grass Lake. Called American Tooling.
Yeah, American Tooling Center.
Basically, you got it. And I don't know how – this is an interesting spoofing story. And they took it to court. And
well,
basically,
so essentially they got a fake invoice.
But it was a fake invoice to a legitimate invoice.
Right.
So
– I mean, it was spear phishing. It was
Right. The emails from a vendor to send payment for legitimate outstanding invoices to a new bank account.
Yep.
So whatever they knew – whatever they got a hold of whatever invoices were being sent – and without verifying the bank or whatever, he threw $800,000 that was not controlled by the vendor and sent the invoice. They filed a claim with Travelers. They said
with their insurance company.
Right. There was direct loss. They filed a suit. They went to all the courts and basically they said, wah, wah, like you ain't getting nothing. And basically they're out $800,000.
They want some of those internet dollars.
The guy just paid a bogus invoice?
Well, but it looked like a real invoice. So I mean, it was
so it wasn't like from a Nigerian.
No,
prince.
No, no. So the email that came in looked like it was from the vendor. Looked like the
grand.
And just paid an $800,000 invoice.
So the judgment basically said there was no infiltration or hacking of their actual computer system. The emails themselves did not directly cause the transfer of the funds.
Yeah, it was basically you not paying attention.
You just said okay, and you know here's my thing with that. I'm kind of on the side of the CFO, whoever wrote the check. When someone says, hey, there's new banking information, who checks it?
Yeah, do you call and confirm?
No, especially if it's a vendor you've done business with for, let's say, 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, hey, new bank. Everybody's
all right,
new
banks. Happens, yeah.
Well, I hope he learns a lesson from this.
$800,000 worth.
Yeah, it's a painful lesson.
Are you kidding me?
So far less, though, the $10 a month movie pass thing.
Oh.
Which was intriguing at first, and then I started looking at it more. So, yeah, it's $10 a month. You can get you can go see a movie every day, but not 3D.
I don't want to see 3D. It sucks.
Not IMAX.
Oh.
And apparently AMC is opting out of it.
Oh.
AMC still around?
Yeah.
AMC is everywhere.
What about Imagine?
I did not mention
Well, they're not national, so I don't think they would even be listed on that. So
I fall asleep when I go to Imagine. The seats are too comfortable.
Oh, it's so good.
Damn them. It's just like
– how does the chain opt out though? Because the way this works is they give you a debit card. You say how much the movie costs. They put that on the card, that exact amount, and then you swipe the card at the kiosk.
Apparently AMC has just said they're legally opting – they're exercising their legal option to opt out because they don't want this traffic or affiliation.
That's weird. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I take my kids to go see Wonder Woman. It's an $80 bill.
Yep.
Four tickets, non-3D.
Right.
Two kids packs, and I got to get like the big mega popcorn with like, all the butter, like,
slushies, and drinks, and sodas.
How did you like that movie, by the way?
It's phenomenal.
Guess who walked out halfway through it?
That'd be I swear to God, I walked out.
Go ahead.
Man, just the.
Why do you hate women?
Looking back, I really think that thing got way more pub because it was a woman empowered. You know,
lead and director, a female director.
I'm not a big superhero guy. I'll start with that.
That's fair.
Just say,
so where, like, where did
the
you
origin
land?
Story was just so slow to me, and it was just so.
How were you on Batman Superman?
I'm not with that either. So I.
All right. Well, the Martha thing killed that one for me. I thought, to be honest, the only thing that bothered me about Wonder Woman was young William Shatner, Captain James T. Kirk, was like her confidant.
Right.
And it's like, come on, you can't cast anyone else.
That's who that was.
Besides James T. Kirk
right.
for that role when he was just in a goddamn Star Trek movie. Like, there's got to be other people.
Yeah, there are apparently no other actors available in Hollywood.
No.
He's the guy.
You can't get Jason Lee. He hasn't worked in a while. I don't know.
Wait, isn't he dead?
No.
So second half of that movie was killer?
The whole movie, I thought it was. I thought they knocked it out of the park.
Okay.
Like you can't have it all the Avengers, like the eight people punching like for an entire 2 hours. It's exhausting.
It drives you nuts seeing them punch through walls and
knock
each other for four blocks, and then all of a sudden one punch knocks some guy out. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, there's only like, you can't handle 2 straight hours of CGI.
Yeah, CGI is killing that stuff. It killed the 3 Star Wars movies.
See,
the prequels.
I thought King Kong was pretty awesome. They did a really good job with that.
I don't know that I saw that one.
The new one?
I did.
Skull Island.
Yeah.
So good. They you know, and we're going to talk about movies for a little bit, and that's okay. We haven't done this in a while, but so Star Wars had finally announced their next spinoff after 9, which is going to be the Obi-Wan story.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, they've already got Han Solo in the pipeline.
Right. Everybody's complaining about that already.
Well, apparently that's not going well at all because the lead actor apparently sucks.
Doesn't know how to act.
Yeah.
Well, that's, neither did.
Seems to be a problem.
So that was – neither did Natalie Portman in 1. Like, we're going to talk to Vance Lynch.
Well, and that's why in 2 – they just put her in bondage gear.
Right.
And let her be on screen.
Well, no, but he's like, how did she go from like this weird robotic to like just speaking normal? Chancellor of Alum says, like, she's talking like, you know, like whatchamacallit from South Park, like Terrence and
the Phillip. Canadians.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, guy, see?
That's your guy, buddy.
No, but I mean, they did. I mean, they brought in acting coaches and all kinds of stuff for the
Ron Howard. No, and then the Ron Howard's in it. And then
well, he stepped in as the director.
He's not in it. That would be really weird if Ron
Clint Howard's going to be in it, though.
He's got to be. He always puts Clint in his movies.
I know. Only if he's in as the, what was it? Not the leprechaun. What the hell was he? He's the bad guy?
He'll be the new Ned Nub, co-pilot for Lando.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, what was the horror movie he was in? That wasn't the leprechaun. He was the, God bless it, I'm going to hate myself in the morning for this.
I'm sure you'll think of it during the break.
Son of a bitch.
That's how this works.
But, so, you want to get angry right now? I know you got blood pressure problems and all. You know?
It happens.
Knight Rider reboot.
Dude, kiss all of my ass.
No, just wait a minute. Starring.
David Hasselhoff.
No, of course not.
He's going to have a cameo. He's got to.
Of course.
Nobody hassles the Hoff. Starring John Cena and Kevin Hart.
What? Why Kevin Hart?
That wasn't a buddy movie.
Yeah, for buddy factor. It's going to be
everybody knows there weren't black people on Knight Rider. What are we talking about here?
The people that did 21 Jump Street apparently are behind
us. Actually, now that you just mentioned that, I don't recall seeing a black person on Knight Rider ever in the history of that. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. There was the technician.
Kit was black.
No, the technician. What was his name?
The car.
Not CJ.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, no. The later seasons when they had the truck that drove around and he would drive up in the truck, there was the chick and the black guy.
Oh.
Yeah, that
like
one red eye.
Like Chico and the man.
Yeah, the red eye. Yeah, the red eye just went wow.
But I haven't watched Chips yet.
Nope, refuse.
Yeah, I was going to rent it and I said, you know, I'm done with you. And then it's funny, I watch these when they come out on HBO and I get a chuckle out of them. And I didn't think 21 Jump Street was that awful.
Well, because you're not blowing $80 to go see it. That's the difference. Like, if you're sitting there in your living room and you watch it and you can turn it off and you can be drunk on your own booze and it's on, it's not as painful.
So,
have you guys been following, by the way, the story of Tom Wopat?
They grabbed the butt?
Yeah.
Like the butt
hole. It sounded like a finger slid down a butt crack.
It did.
Yeah. It did. Yeah.
Sounds usually, potentially very innocent.
No, but usually...
he did it in front of the whole cast, though. It sounds like something that would... like fire everybody up, make everyone laugh. It doesn't sound like sexual assault.
Like a Wet Willy kind of thing.
No, but normal people put quarters in butt cracks. They don't put fingers in them.
Well,
because that's where
it's their own. Yeah,
tomato, tomato.
Yeah,
right. Because normal. I mean, that's where you know. I don't know. You don't put fingers in butt cracks.
Well,
you know what happens in there? No, I want no part of it at all. But from movies to the gamer crowd, we don't talk about gaming too much. I'm excited about a game they just released that I just saw announced today.
Oh, that YouTube video? Yeah.
Yes.
Is it Age of Empires?
I put more time into Age of Empires 2 than probably the majority of human beings, always with cheat codes, and I would play that game.
That's the one you kept trying to talk me into playing. You're like, no, dude, here's all the cheat codes. Just go.
Right.
Yeah.
It was Clash of Clans, but you got to play it in 3 hours, not for 3 years, which Clash of Clans is. I finally upgraded my castle. It only took me 72 months. But they're finally, it's like, the YouTube video is pretty damn awesome. The guys were like, 21 years ago, we made this game, and never did we think this was going to be this thing.
Yeah.
And now, 21 years later, I get to work on it again with the same code and just make it more awesome. So they're coming out with Age of Empires 4, the derivative edition, and basically using the same code as 2. Which is like, so for me, you couldn't have.
So all the cheat codes will still work.
All the cheat codes, yeah, exactly. Long Cheesesteak Jimmy's, Robin Hood for gold, Lumberjack for wood, Rock On for stone. See, I still know these in my. I haven't played the game in probably 2 years, but like literally, they're what an old gamer likes is when you don't destroy the franchise.
Well, it's so different than movies.
And you keep it pristine, and they're keeping the old code, but they're just like putting some spit and polish, and I'm like. Yeah, I'll be first in line for that one all day. That and Battlefield 2 are going to be the bane of my existence.
So, but AI and tech, we talk about this every now and then. Elon Musk, I believe he's leading the charge of 116 different experts that are specifically asking companies to sign an outright ban on killer robots.
And it's basically robotic weapons. And isn't there, like... when you've seen Congo and they have those automatic machine guns that like are laser with like motion detect, like these have been around for this isn't like stuff that's come out.
But let's be real, his concern is our concern, which is
they wake
Google
up and
robots,
say,
Google AI,
right.
Terminator. Like we're almost there.
I for one welcome our robotic overlords.
Nice.
Kiss ass.
Yeah.
But like we're not talking he's not talking drones like Nintendo soldiers. He's talking like the Boston Scientific robots.
Yeah,
like,
running through the forest, able to shoot down. None of those. Yeah.
See, now, you know what I'm surprised no one's invented is like mecha suits. Like the
mech warriors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how is no one in, like, you get the guy to sit in the thing and you're like 16 feet tall and you got all the weapons in the thing, like,
walks. Or, you know, the much better version of that, Real Steel.
Real, come on. The movie Blue Dog and you know it. No, like, and then like Real Voltron, like that's where technology should go.
Now you're talking.
Seriously.
Hell yes.
Not these stupid robots walking through the woods with a baseball bat. No, give me like 40-foot like
Pacific Johnny's, Rim.
Thank you. Yes,
giant,
that's
giant
what,
robot, dude. Johnny Sacco.
Johnny
you're about
Sacco.
To go there.
Right.
Right.
Give control.
You fly and carry you in the open palm.
The world's dominator. Give control to an 8-year-old boy. Right. And just let him run.
Watch. You know.
Right. Exactly. Let him run havoc on the planet. Kill all the Vine people. And you know.
So great use of technology, and this is one of the things that you know parents should be aware of. So 2 15-year-old girls ran away here in Detroit, or Metro Detroit. And they were missing for the better part of a week. And, you know, the parents realized that they were being blocked from social media and that sort of thing. And the girls finally realized they were in trouble and started sending text messages with pictures and Snapchats to their parents with, you know, like what they could see out the windows and that kind of stuff. And so parents got the cops involved. They apparently went to, I believe it said, 15 different apartment complexes in a single day that matched, you know, the basic layout and that sort of stuff. But finally found them because of being able to use, like, you know, Google Earth and Google Maps and that sort of stuff to use the reverse image search to figure out where their kids were.
So they did this without using 4chan, like the Shia LaBeouf story?
Yes, they absolutely did, yes.
Looking at chemtrails and then lining them up with the traffic patterns.
Yeah,
and then,
this was actually real, yeah.
But no, I was kind of impressed.
That wasn't 4chan, that was Reddit.
No, 4chan found Shia LaBeouf.
I thought it was Reddit.
No. Oh. Reddit talked about it, but no, it was the sleuthing of 4chan.
Wacky people.
No, but how cool is that, though?
I love that guy.
You're Shia LaBeouf?
4chan.
Oh, 4chan.
That guy. Notorious hacker 4chan.
Right. No, yeah, exactly. No, we're big fans of 4chan. Love you. Love all of... Because we don't want them to destroy us. but no, like, how cool is that, though? Like, I would consider them novice computer users at worst.
Oh, yeah. They both said the parents had absolutely no idea what, you know, they were not technologically, you know, they're not, I mean, they called themselves housewives.
Right.
You know, and they didn't know anything about technology or computers. They just started getting these images, started asking people, and people said, hey, you can do this, you can do that. They started, like I said, and they started using, like, the reverse image search.
But the girls ran away, didn't you say? So it was, like, a big game of Clue.
Well, so it was one of those things where, like, the girls ran away because they were going to meet these guys, and then the guys turned out to be, well, less
Professor
than...
Professor Plum, Colonel Mustard.
Yeah, exactly. They were sort of nefarious characters, if you will, and, you know, kind of, you know, yeah, they were not what the girls thought they were.
Yeah, that happens.
So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Jim Byermeister from RMC Agency. We're going to be talking about the state of the IT industry in Metro Detroit. This is the IT in the D Show, and
we'll be right back.
Oh, good call.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 210. This is the one and only IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One, Podcast Detroit. Beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That is Dave the Geek.
Wee.
Nuri, the FNG, is out of town. But hopefully he's not.
And blind for all we know.
Hopefully he's not. Yeah, hopefully he's not blind. Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker, is in studio. Find us online, itinthed.com, because we are IT in the D and you.
You. Still aren't.
You're still angry at us, and we think it's cute.
One more aneurysm. Ta-da.
But hey, we are lucky enough to be joined by one of our favorite, I guess I'll call you a recruiter. I know. Business owner, all the things. Jim Byermeister's in the house. Anytime I need something, it's usually one of the first three people I call saying, hey, you know, here's what's going on. But, you know, with us, we've seen a little bit of a market change, and this is our first year. We're not doing the Pink Slip party since 2009.
Well, we did one in March.
Right. Well, I'm sorry. The first time we're not doing two.
Right. I mean, you know, and we did. I mean, and we did. We've seen the shift all across the board. You know, when we started them in the first one we did was May of 2009. And then, you know, they grew and they grew. And at one point we did four. I think it was like 20.
We're doing them every quarter.
2011, we did four a year. But then, like, in late 2012, the market shifted, you know, and we started seeing instead of the people that were looking for gigs that were beating down our doors about when the next event was, it was the recruiters that were saying they couldn't find qualified talent. They really needed to meet people, yada, yada, yada. And that's continued. And I mean, so like now, you know, instead of, you know, 1,000 people and, you know, 200 recruiters showing up or, you know, or 150 recruiters, now we're seeing 400 people and 200 recruiters that are showing up. And it's weird, which is a good sign for the economy, because I think what we're seeing now is a lot of the people that took a job when they needed to you know, keep themselves afloat, and now that the economy has turned and the market is so tight, now they're looking for that next job.
Yep. And that's where we come in. I really appreciate you guys having me on the show here.
Absolutely.
Means a lot to me to be in your circle here. And, you know, I think I look back and the first event that I attended was a Pink Slip party back in 2014 when we moved our first office here to the Detroit metro area. And we've definitely seen that shift as well. I mean, the unemployment rate in IT is what we call frictional. I mean, it's basically people moving between jobs. It's 1.5-2%, depends on who you're talking to on a given day. But, I mean, the bottom line is that it's full employment. And
well, it's like we've said, like right now, if you're in IT and you don't have a job, it's either because you don't want to or because there's something wrong with you.
Right.
Or you're trying. Like, yeah, or you're like, hey, I need this job within a half a mile of my house that I can flex.
You don't want to.
Right, fair.
You don't really want a job at that point. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I mean, what we're really trying to do is we're trying to connect with people and build a pipeline. So we look at it really like you've got. If you get sick, you don't just go to any doctor. You go and you turn to a doctor that's in your family or that you know. If your car breaks down, you don't just pull into some garage and have them fix it. There's someone that you know that fixes your car for you. Your finances, of course, you have someone that's a financial advisor that helps you with your finances. Yep. We look at this as, you know, your career kind of supports all of that. So why not have an agent that you can turn to on any given day and just find out what's going on in the market? You can always turn to them if something goes awry, something turns quick, you get a new boss, it's not working out, or you're just ready for a change. And the bottom line is we see people looking to make a move, especially in the development ranks, somewhere between 18 months and 2 years. They get a project done, and they're ready to move to the next thing.
See, my thing is like the higher end, once you get past the entry level, once you're at like the level three, or the third level of being an IT professional, there's like this inherent hatred of recruiters. It's kind of like you're in this weird spot where I love you when I need you and I hate you when I don't, and there's no in between at all. I mean, I guess how do you navigate that? You just try to just keep being around?
No, there's a lot of personalities in this business.
There is.
You know, there's people that are in that vein of personality, and then there's people that really understand the value that we bring to the table. I mean, at the end of the day, you guys are doing code. You guys are out there doing the heavy lifting in the technical trenches. And the managers are doing their job to try and keep their projects on track to meet the business objectives of the organization. And then we find ourselves somewhere in the middle so that when something happens in your project that you lose a key person or there's a skill set that needs to come online in your organization that you just don't have, you can turn to hopefully a trusted source like us.
Well, I mean, even from the candidate side of the world, I mean, like, so, you know, people have always asked, all right, like, you know, look, you guys don't charge to come to your events, you don't get kickbacks from the bars, yada, yada, yada. What do you get out of doing these events? And like, one of my standard answers is, all right, look, you know, there's 1,000 recruiters that have joined our group on LinkedIn or Meetup, you know, and great. So out of that, there are maybe 100 that come to our events on at least a semi-regular basis. There are 30 that I've gotten to be pretty decent friends with. We're friends on Facebook. We go out, we have drinks, yada, yada, yada. It's a thing. There are 4 or 5, you know, that have flat out told me, hey, when you need a job tomorrow, you call me. And that's who I call because it is about that relationship. It's, you know, it is your car sales guy, your mechanic. You need somebody in that position that you have a relationship with. Otherwise, it's no different than flipping open the yellow pages and, hey, I need windows.
Right. Well, and that's why people talk about, you know, all your recruiters are the same. You have the same channels. You're all going after the same people. And really, we're not. You know, everyone's got different, again, personalities. They got different relationships, and where there may be some crossover. And if you're just going to go hunting out on the job boards, yeah, you're probably going to run across the same folks. But I mean, we're really working with, and this is kind of a cliche, but we're working with passive candidates. I'm trying to pipeline people and understand what these folks are really looking for in their next career opportunity. And then on the other side, I'm working with the customers to really understand what their business objectives are and what they're trying to accomplish with their projects, so that we can help line those two up at the right time.
So, an interesting discussion right now, since we're you know, we've done the pilot of our career academy up in Flint. We're basically getting people entry level certs, getting them level one jobs. What's the, in terms of a demand, or where, like when we talk to people about like the AKA the path, or you know, what, obviously cybersecurity has a negative unemployment rate, and everybody's got their own thing and their own likes. What, I guess, what, you know, in your best, what's the top, you know, don't say .NET or Java, or I'll throw you out. but
.NET, Java, mobile app dev.
Right. But you know, besides that, I guess tell us something we don't know in terms of between those three and cybersecurity. What's some areas, good areas people to focus? I think people are forgetting about Cisco when, you know, Cisco might be forgetting about Cisco, but there's still that need for those network engineers. I mean, I guess tell me something in terms of what paths people should follow.
Yeah, I mean, we are starting to see a little bit more of an uptick in the networking side. I'm not really sure what's driving that. I've been trying to figure that out. But really, the other area that we're seeing a lot more demand in our side is the whole UX, UI, because I think it's really about the interface, you know, because, I mean, all the technology underlying is one thing, but at the end of the day, everybody needs to have an app that the user experience is.
Well, everybody talks code, but nobody's talking UX.
Right. Well, they're starting to.
How many times have you heard, dude, I'll write you code that'll do whatever you want. Just don't ask me to make it pretty.
Right.
I mean, that's
never. There's a big divide there. There's no doubt about it. It's rare that you find someone
big gray buttons.
The problem is
blue links. That's it.
The problem is the divide is like it's kind of like with the relationship with me and Dave. Dave will do the code. Then I'll look at him and I go, dude, it just doesn't have it. And he'll go, what?
And I go, I want to, if I hear the words, just make it pop one more time, I'm gonna
I say that
pen,
as a joke, and you know,
I'm gonna stab
but
his
I go,
neck.
Dude, it just doesn't do. Like, I don't know how to describe what I need it to be until I see it. And that's the worst part because that's what.
Well, and honestly,
I'm the guy that's saying, like, hey, I want it to be what I don't know what it needs to be, but you can build it, but make it how I don't know it needs to.
So that's why I've always loved code as opposed to the front end stuff, to be honest with you. I mean, code is binary. It's either work, not work.
Totally.
Done.
Well, you've always been a back end guy anyway.
Tom Wopat.
But like with the front end stuff, it's all, could you make it more blue?
Yeah.
Or it just doesn't pop, or. You know, I mean, it's that
it's
subjective stuff.
It's me with the restaurant reviews. It's either really good or it tastes like shit.
Yeah, one star.
There's
five.
No.
But it's really starting to take two to tango on this thing. I mean, you got to have both sides of it. I mean, obviously, you have to have the logic that makes things mm-hmm. run. But on the front end, I mean, especially with mobile and reactive, responsive pages, I mean, you've got to have all of that stuff working together.
Well, so, I think that was the big shift that, like, we first saw that with project management, where, you know, for the longest time it was business only PMs that knew the PMBOK mm-hmm. and had their PMP cert, and yet it didn't, like, they were business people. They didn't understand tech, and that was fine. And you saw that start to go away in the early 2000s, where they wanted people with, like, technical backgrounds that actually understood both sides of the fence. And I think that's what we're starting to see now, is that you need. Like, great, yeah, you can write database queries all day long, but you need to know how the front end's going to serve it up and what kind of response times you're dealing with and how how big of a data set you can throw up there and that sort of thing.
No, but like, I don't know what cert do you need for UX? I don't know because that's not my game, but like
what kind of certification?
Yeah, because
there are UX UI. I mean there's CompTIA certs, you know, for like for user interface and that sort of thing. Yeah. I mean it's out there.
It really comes down to the technology and really your portfolio. Yeah, right. That's what they want to see.
Three TriCast guys are like going, get
dude,
it. Yeah,
I'm
love
sorry.
It.
I don't need to be a smart ass.
You guys are some really
so
serious
over
stuff.
Our heads right now. I'm just like, what he said, the UX and the UI. And
it's
the
more
certs.
UX than UI.
I heard certs in there or something. I'm thinking about mints.
The mints, Mentos, yeah.
No, he's like, you guys, it's fascinating.
Do you concur? Yes, I concur.
Agree with what he said. I was thinking the same thing.
Carry on, gentlemen.
Dave's making great points.
So UX, UI, what else do you think?
UX. Yeah, I mean, what we're starting to see a lot is more of the senior level. You talked about the project manager, so that's mm-hmm. starting to come into play a little bit. And they do want people that have that background in development so that they can really understand what's going on at the project level. And then I'm starting to see some more things, and it may just be because of my age in this business, but I'm starting to see more requests of senior level management. So I'm getting some director level opportunities and some really cool
good to know.
And it's funny, being where I'm at, like, it's the emergence of the CISO. Like, I've never – like, did that get rid of the CTO? Like, I don't see as many CTOs as I have in the past.
It's getting there.
But like the emergence.
But like
that's
one of those roles. Well, and honestly, like if you look at just the shift in the industry, like all of a sudden, as soon as the CIO CEO role had to start signing pieces of paper that said they would go to jail if things happened. Oh,
here comes the CISO.
Here comes the CISO.
Yeah,
that's the person that can sign that piece of paper. That's how that happened.
Fair. Yeah. I ain't putting my house on the line.
No, but that's good to know. I mean, like, and that's one of the things that we've started seeing more of at the networking events is, you know, people – we've started having more senior-level people that are starting to look for that next gig. We've started seeing, you know, more of the recruiters that are looking for those kind of people too, which, I mean, it's good to know. It's kind of across the board.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's the war for talent, you know, starting to emerge here. A lot of people starting to retire in the marketplace and –
Well, and you have a lot
move up into the next ranks.
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, you're starting to have a lot of these, you know, the startup culture, you know, that's huge in this area right now. You're starting to get some of those companies that are getting to that point where now they're ready for an IT director. They're ready for a CTO. They're ready for a CISO. They're ready for, you know, that next step in the company evolution, and they don't know what to do. They don't know who to go to. So, I mean, that's where these relationships come in handy.
Sure. Yeah, and it's all about the communication up front and having those discussions early on in the process of taking that next step in their career.
Interesting. Now I'm just thinking like all these the different paths. Like I'm like because we talked to so many different people about so many different areas that they're interested in. I just want to like you know again arm myself or arm them for what the heck they're seeing. Because I mean, so the interview game. Let's move there. Is there an art to that still, or like is there, people aren't still doing the sell me a pen thing? I mean, is there any weird curveball?
If you
questions?
Were a tree,
right? No.
What kind of tree would you?
No, because here's like what I won't say the company that interviewed me, but he said if your best friend would say the three worst things about you right now, what would he say? And I'm like, first thing out of my mouth is fat, drunk, and stupid. But I'm like, God, I can't say that in an interview. And then it threw me a curveball because now I'm trying to come up with stuff that isn't that, which I know is that.
Don't think of a blue-eyed tiger.
Right, right. Exactly. But, like, you know, what's the interview game look like these days? With, you know?
Yeah, I don't see a lot of that. I mean, there's a little bit that we see out there. But really, a lot of it starts with making sure that, from a recruiting standpoint, that we're spending time with the hiring managers to really understand what they're trying to accomplish with this role. So it's called the employee value proposition. Why would this person need to come or want to come and work for this organization? What are the things, the attributes of this job or the career path that is really going to entice someone to come and work here? What's the cultural elements? There's a lot that goes into that, and we try to spend a lot of time up front with that. And then when we're talking to candidates, we make sure that they understand that those elements are there. They understand where the direction for this company is going first and foremost, and then where they fit into that. And then when they get into the interview, they can speak to those things. So I think that's where we provide more value than probably anything else in this game, is that we just really understand what the clients – because a lot of times we place a lot of people there and we've engaged with them
right,
a lot.
Right.
So we understand the manager if we can get access to them.
Right.
We understand their personality and what they're about and what they're – the type of people that are going to probably mesh with them well.
Well, and I think that's something you're seeing more and more. And I think, like, honestly, like the biggest complaint that I've heard about interviews lately is getting blindsided with a panel interview. Like, you know, you think you're walking in and you're talking, you know, you're going to be talking to one person, and all of a sudden there's six people in the room, like an Olympic judge panel, you know, that, you know, want to quick fire questions at you.
See, that depends on the like me all day, bring it. But if someone like if you look at IT though, that's not very extroverted. That's going to be the bane
well. Some of it's
existence.
Just the expectation. If right, you know that's right. what you're walking into, yeah, right. that's one thing.
And that's again, that's our job. That's the differentiator. If you go and put your resume blind into a job portal or something like that, you're not necessarily going to get that level of detail on what to expect.
Sure.
And who those players are going to be, and the recruiter's job is really to understand that and to set you up and make sure that you're prepared for that type of a situation, so you don't walk in and get that surprise.
So if anybody wants to find you on LinkedIn or otherwise, how they find you?
Yeah, I mean, we're on Twitter at Recruit Michigan, and our website is www.rmcagency.com, and then from there you can pretty much find our whole team.
Awesome. So. Jim, appreciate coming out. Appreciate the insight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, definitely look forward to you coming back. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with the team from the Detroit Cast podcast.
Because if we don't, they're not going to shut up anyway.
Yeah, no. Can I say podcast? I know. I'm going to wait for Jim to like butt in on your like pop culture story. Going, yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. This is the
– they told me to come in here. I don't know what else to do. I'm like, you guys are so much smarter than I am. I don't know.
Lies. This is the IT and the D show. And,
hey, we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 3, episode 210. This is the IT in the D Show broadcasting live here in Studio 1, Podcast Detroit.
And we have fulfilled our intelligent conversation quota for the evening.
Good. We're in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now it's time to rub the CD underbelly of the podcast
that was,
world.
That was shocking.
Yeah, that was tough.
This is Bob the Sales
Guy. I felt
like
I was in school again. It's
a different language.
Yeah.
That's Dave the Geek. Those two voices you're hearing are Mike Walters and Jay from the Detroit Cast podcast. Can I call it the Detroit Cast podcast? Yeah. Detroit Cast podcast or just the Detroit Cast?
Hey, you know what
Cast,
I read in the USA Today? About us today. I used my PIN number at the ATM machine.
Never mind. Stop talking. But guys, appreciate you coming on, hanging out with us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
That's always
fun.
It's a pleasure.
Has it been how long? Yeah, how long has it been since your last?
A year, almost to the day, man. Yeah. It's crazy. I was looking at the calendar. Almost a year.
Oh my god! And then it's about as long as it took you guys to return my phone call.
They come in about as often as they reply to our emails. Yeah, that's how that works. Yeah.
That was a tough time for us. We were just starting.
Right.
Lots of emails.
Lots of stuff going on. It was hard.
We've been quiet about this, and I don't know why. We got nominated.
Hey, you're humble guys.
The IT and the D show. Yeah, we haven't said a
word. That's
because
we don't understand what it is.
Scream it from the mountaintops.
Well, I'm the one that paid the $10 to nominate us.
I said
you nominated us, just like my 40.
Oh, like you when you had the 40 under 40? Yeah. I get this email. You've nominated Bob Waltonspiel for the 40 under 40. I'm like, you're welcome.
It was me.
Yeah.
But no, I saw we were finalists, and I saw you guys are like finalists in like what, three categories?
Four. Who's counting? Yeah.
It's our seventh nomination. As Mike mentioned before, we are sort of the Susan Lucci of the event.
Yeah.
So we hope to take some hardware this year.
The funny thing is we got this email. Dave, we need to make the video yet. We have to make our winner video or you're disqualified.
Yeah.
There's so many like little rules. He complains about everybody's website.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's sort of a podcast award Nazi guy. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
We got dinged for emailing with the wrong
Libsyn?
Format. Blueberry, I think.
He owns Blueberry. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's $10 to nominate.
Oh, well here's down the road in Ohio. Let's take a road trip and get somebody drunk. How hard can this be?
Exactly.
You guys are lucky. This year the process is a lot different than past years. This is our third year being involved with this. And in past years you had to sort of beg your audience to vote, and it was not just go on and click that you like us, but it was go on, click that you like us, respond to an email thereafter. It was like this really cumbersome. Yeah. Nobody wants to double click, let alone check emails and check spam.
And I don't want
to
fill out this survey.
Not signing up for the website either.
Now you're nominated, and then a panel of quote experts will assess you.
Yeah. Which is why we'll never win.
Yeah, because they all hate us.
They won't make it past the intro.
Right.
They'll hear the intro and they'll be like, nope, not these guys. They're out.
It's a longer intro.
It is longer. Yeah. But it's good.
We like it that way.
Strong. Yeah.
My whole thing is, you know what? If you don't like our intro, you're not going to like our show.
We'll fast forward through it.
Yeah.
It's a podcast. Whatever. Yeah, it was kind of a big deal. The first year we were nominated, Comedy and People's Choice?
Yeah.
And we sent E out to Vegas. They had a big show in Vegas.
And yeah, Chris Jericho and Emily Morse.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Emily Morse were hosting it, and it was live online. And we got smoked. I mean, there was like
– no chance.
Yeah, no chance. And our audience was really bummed out. It was kind of funny. But yeah, E had fun going out there. And
yeah, I didn't give a shit. I just wanted to go to Vegas, so I talked them into flying me to Vegas for a night. So I didn't really care.
Beats
a
Jack's
meeting. To be honest, I didn't care if we won or not. I just wanted to go to Vegas.
I was there for the experience, man.
Yeah.
Just an honor to be nominated.
Right.
All these girls were smiling at me. This is a great town.
Right.
They really like me.
So I was getting robbed by some girls that night, actually.
do you think the talent shows up for the podcast awards like they show up for the tech shows?
Oh, no. Dude, hold on a minute. Wearing a badge that says you're with a tech show in Vegas is almost like
roll me.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I have $300 an hour. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm here on a business trip with
Dude, I'm not kidding. E got rolled by a
pair of deuces.
A pair of deuces. We determined that they were twos as far as like hot chicks go, and E got rolled by a pair of deuces. They stole his money.
He willfully
hands it over.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Yeah, kind of. Well, the problem was I'm by myself, so I got drunk at one of the clubs or something, and these girls were like, you want to go back to your room? And I was like, yeah, let's do this.
Most people would be thinking now, hooker, he wasn't. And so they just took whatever he had on him.
He just took some
and then
cash.
He was flying
poor naive E.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, dude, you have no idea. So the next morning he goes to get the cab back to the airport, and he realizes he doesn't have any cash left. So he's left pandering and begging family?
Oh, he's scared of poor Canadian family.
Well, the problem was
he's begging Canadian family for $2 and they wouldn't give it to him.
Because I didn't get on a cab. I got on one of these ones where you're supposed to be cheaper than a cab. They do a you know, you can do like a shuttle to the thing, but it stops at a few different casinos.
Right.
And so it's only like $5, but I had no cash on me. And I asked this guy behind
me. How about
me,
a couple loonies?
Like, hey, man, could you just give me like $5? Embarrassing. I don't have any cash on me. And he goes, nope, and just sits there. I know he had cash on him, and he couldn't. I'm like, dude, I just need $5 for the shuttle.
He's clearly on drugs. I'm not giving him any money.
Like, I'm not enabling him any further.
He was talking to me like nice and fine before that, because I was like, he knew I was in town even. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in town for the – I work on a podcast. I'm here for these awards. I'm
nominated for a big award.
Don't say you were dressed well. Don't say you were dressed well.
Yes, I was.
No, but like on the podcast awards.
Yes, I was.
On the podcast awards, we got a thing. Like we got to make the video, and I get that. Then there's a, hey, if you want the super deluxe trophy, it's like $250.
I do.
Right, but it's like
isn't it like you decide before? Like I'll decide if we win, you do it. But don't you have to make the decision before?
I even looked at the things.
Yeah, like you have to figure out.
You have to decide before if you want to pay the money for the super deluxe trophy.
Well, they don't keep the money if you lose.
They probably do. I'm not sure about that.
He says real explicitly. Like,
well, I mean, if the whole contest was run by SoundCloud, they probably would be keeping the money.
Because they had to. No, but he said, like, this is the trophy's not a profit center. Like, just stop.
I know
what
trophies
cost. Covering the
cost.
No,
that's not what trophies cost.
So what are you guys nominated in?
Tech.
How's the competition look? Have you looked at the other
There's like tech is kind of a weird thing. There's a show that all they talk about is how to podcast, which I don't consider tech. Tech to me is This Week in Tech.
Sure.
Right? Like those type of.
Today we're going to optimize SQL Server.
Was that UX, UI?
It was UX every week, I guess.
There's a show that the guy's on every message form I go to, and he's a podcast about podcasting. What do you talk about after like the eighth one?
And if he knew how to do it so well, why wasn't he making more money?
Exactly.
Why is he giving the secrets away?
Those who can't do, teach.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right.
That idiot that showed up in the podcast group on Facebook that became my chew toy for the day.
You guys stupid. I know everything. You know, like, that's what we're convinced now. Anyone that says they're an expert, it's kind of like the modern day, like, I'm an SEO expert.
Yeah.
I'm a social media guru.
Yeah.
It's like you're just running snake oil. Like, you're just basically.
We've run into some snake oil salesmen.
Anybody can say it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Randy.
It's hard, though, because we don't know. We don't have any idea about that stuff.
So you can dazzle us with a couple of buzzers.
Yeah, a couple of UX, UI stuff, and we're like, oh, God, this is the guy. This is the guy. And then it's like 2 months later, we're like,
okay. I like the big fellow with the beard. He's our guy.
And then we're out the money, and it did nothing for us, and it's like, ugh.
Well, I mean, that's not unique to you guys. I mean, there's been a lot of lessons learned with this along the way. I mean, we didn't know what the hell we were doing when we launched the show, let alone the network. There's been a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been nuts, but I mean, it's been a lot of trial and error. And all right, we're not doing that again. Next.
Yeah.
See, we have a Dave. I think every podcast needs a Dave.
Oh my God! Yeah, oh, it's just us three. We don't have a Dave anymore. Yeah. We've had Kadog in the past.
We've had some guys, but nothing full time. Nothing full time, and we're getting close to getting there where it's like we need a guy that just does this
because we're a 5 day a week show,
right?
So we have issues.
Which it's our only job.
Dude, would
make our living doing this in my basement.
I don't know how you guys do it 5 days. I don't like we were
content wise or what?
Just that daily grind of every day. It's a thing. Like, we've been talking about firing up a daily or even just a twice a week show for a year. And every time it's like, no, I don't want to commit to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we stare at each other a lot. We see each other a lot, the three of
us. We do. We see each other more than we see our families.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. I mean, we're together all day. And
it's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, it is. And we're cynical guys. And so we have fun just kicking the ball around because we have such different backgrounds. I mean, Jay and I went to high school together, but he's a really well-established lawyer. And I barely graduated high school, and he's retarded. So, like, you put the three of us in a room, and you're going to get totally different perspectives on life, on family, on everything. And so it kind of works in our favor because we're not the same guys.
Yeah.
You know? Which makes it fun. It makes it fun to irritate Jay. He gets irritated with us all the time.
Very much.
He can't believe how unprofessional we are. He just can't believe it.
I don't know, man. I mean, some of the stuff that comes out of these guys' mouths, like the sexual harassment just kills
me. Well, we had a 10-minute conversation on what words can I say and can't I? And I'm like, well, you can't say one word, the F-bomb. He goes, can I say this one? I go, oh, no, you can't say that. He goes, well, man, it's not just that word.
It's beyond the F-bomb, right? Mike. Yeah. You can't – no.
Well, Jay's.
Do we need to have a writer now?
Well, he said there's only one word, and so I picked a second word. He said, "Oh yeah, you can't say that one either." I was like, "Okay, well, which is it? One word or two words?"
I didn't think anyone would go there right off the bat. Like,
Jay's background is in workplace
employment law.
Employment law. He says it better than I do. Employment law. So for him, he's seen more people be blown out of a job for being inappropriate at work. But I'm like, there was a time when I had E working at the Drew and Mike show, and I put him in a studio, covered his head, and then popped it off and made him watch gay porn for 4 hours straight. And then we had people, other interns going in and doing random Woody checks like every half hour to see if he was getting hard.
Can I join your show?
Yeah, sure. And Jay is just beside himself. Like,
wait a minute, because you want to watch gay porn or because okay, I just was curious on why you wanted to join exactly. Yeah.
So Jay doesn't understand like that whole dynamic of where we – so.
I understand it. I just don't understand how you can't understand that might be inappropriate in other workplaces.
Well, I mean, my wife likes Dave and Chuck the Freak on the way to work. And I usually
listen. You're still married to her?
Ouch. Yeah. Why?
But I'm like, I'll listen to it. And I go, babe, I go, we got to have a talk. I go, yeah. I did an hour and a half of anal worms today.
Yeah, it's such
like,
a bad
I go,
show.
Terrible. I laughed for 4 minutes. I go, how they talked about that for an hour and a half? I had to keep listening.
They didn't talk about it. They brought up a story and then their listeners called up for a half an hour and did the talking.
And they laughed until they were falling out of their seats.
The crazy fake laugh.
Everything that said is apparently the funniest thing ever
the crazy
said.
Crazy fake laugh, it drove me
nuts. I'm guessing you guys have an opinion on that.
Right.
Sometimes.
We've considered this.
Hey, let's be honest. They do really well. They've done great in this market, and it's like, what are you people listening to this for?
I just don't think enough people know about podcasts, honestly. They're drones that are just turning on the same channels on the radio and going, it's stuck on 101, whatever.
That's the big shift, though, that I think that's coming is now that you have, because cars have been that foothold or that stronghold of radio because that's all that was there.
It's easy.
Wi-Fi,
now you've got cars Bluetooth. That have Apple Play, Google, Android and all that stuff that are coming built into the car, built in Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Podcasts are getting easier and easier to access.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
The thing is finding them because you don't. That's the accessibility and what podcast.
Oh, discoverability is crazy.
How do you market
what podcast do I listen
how do you market
to?
What? A podcast? Yeah.
A lot of social media.
Yeah. A lot, and you can do traditional too. You can do billboards and all kinds of stuff. But and I'm not suggesting that Dave and Chuck listeners need to listen to us. But holy shit, there's way better stuff out there. There's a million podcasts out there that blow that out of the water. No offense to them.
It's finding it. That's what I think is
sounds
a big.
Like it.
No, but that's the biggest problem I see with it. Is
yeah. As soon as you hear the phrase "no offense intended," you know someone's about to get slapped.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but the reach is much further with a podcast. We've got listeners in California, Florida, in Europe, in Canada. Military guys take us with them when they're on tours of Afghanistan. I mean, it's awesome. You'd never get a reach like that.
Well, no, and I've talked about that with advertisers. Like my big thing, we're happy with Midroll, Outloud, those guys that do the national ads for us. But we started having conversations with the local market. And all right, how do we tap into that better and how do we get that rolling? And I just had a conversation Friday with a guy and it was that whole conversation that, understanding what the reach differential is and understanding – and he hadn't – apparently he dabbled in podcast advertising a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I'm like, all right, well, a lot's changed since then.
Yeah.
And here's, here's some of the stuff you need to be thinking about. Here's the kind of metrics we get. This is how we do things, da, da, da. And he was like, oh,
yeah.
Man, all right, well, then, let's sit down and talk.
Yeah, it does.
Like, they want those demographics. We've already done, 3-4 surveys, got about, I think, 1,500 respondents or something. They want those numbers.
Well, but what we heard, from Eric with Outloud, it was interesting. The whole YouTube versus podcast advertising. Basically, YouTube ads, you're going to get the biggest bang within that first 24 to 48 hours. And if it doesn't convert, then it ain't going to convert.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently YouTube ad clickers or whatever are good for trials, but they never, never ever convert. To buying customers.
Yeah.
Whereas podcast listeners, it's all about that 30, 60, 90 day tail.
They're insane.
For whatever reason, podcast listeners convert.
Yeah. And it's a lean in audience. They have to do an extra step to get to you. They listen to you more intently. They listen to full shows. And what we found, because Jay and I didn't know when we started this, we didn't know, can we sell a car? Can we sell a car for someone?
Yeah.
And Zot Ford jumped in with us. And
now dealsinthed.com?
Yeah, dealsinthed. And we sold a shitload of cars for them,
We have a nice collection of local advertisers who are doing very well because of that leaned-in audience that Mike mentioned. I mean, people want to support us.
And they go in there going, I'm here from the Detroit cast. Thank you for supporting these guys. We love this show. Thank you. Thank you. And you're not going to get that from a radio. No one's going to walk in.
I think we only get that at Falling Down.
Well, we do. It's a brewery. Yeah,
no one's going to walk in, though, and say, I heard your ad on 96.3. I'm here to buy a car. You know what I mean? Like, they won't do that, but they will for a podcast.
Has anyone ever bought a Kia from Summit Place Kia? Summit Place Kia?
I don't think so.
Like, that's got to be the worst.
I'm surprised they haven't gotten, like,
ad
bombing threats because of that ad.
Randy, put on Twitter, at Summit Place Kia, we will never buy a Kia from Summit Place Kia. From Summit Kia. Place Kia. Yeah.
So I guess, you know, I think it's the thing. So, like, you got, like, I guess let's take a step back. So for those who haven't listened to your show, like, how long have you guys been doing this?
Three years?
Because yeah. I know because I post the episodes.
We're on 882, episode 882 today.
Good God.
Yeah. Five days a week.
Daily grind, man. That's crazy.
It's crazier when you think that Jay never did radio before. You know what I mean? Like, it's
neither
shocking.
One of us have, though. We always talked. Yeah. We talked about it when we first met. You're like, we're not radio guys. Dude, I'm an IT sales guy. He's an IT geek.
Yeah.
Like, I DJ'd at the Post Bar. That was my experience.
Yeah.
Yelling Jägermeister shots, happy birthday, Jenny. Right?
Yeah.
You know, that, you know.
I remember those gigs.
Seriously.
Yeah. But it was a risk for sure. You know, I knew he'd be great. I knew he would. I've known Jay for 15, 20 years, whatever, since high school. But I didn't know that the audience, I needed them to give him a chance. And they did. And it was like, wow.
A few growing pains.
Yeah. I mean, if you go, what episode did you start? 75 or something?
Yeah, we don't want people turning back to episode 75. But yeah, 75. And we're at 82 now.
So 882.
So I hope I would have improved a little bit.
See, our worst one was 69 when Dave brought in a porn star. I wanted to assess
that was worse than episode 5.
Yes. Oh God, yes.
That was worse than the QA episode.
I was not angry at the QA episode.
You wanted to blow your brains out like 20 minutes into episode.
Bored. I didn't hate anyone. I hated her. With everything I was. but no, it was like we didn't know what to do. No one told us how we got to. So like we were trial and error. Like the way the formula is now is probably since 20. Maybe 18.
Yeah, mid-20s, yeah.
Yeah, easy. Where we're like, hey, let's do like a PTI in the beginning and have two interviews. And, you know, we cut out the fourth segment because we're doing recaps. We're like, why are we doing recaps? Yeah. Just cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're always tweaking our format, you know, a little bit, you know, just fine-tuning
how long
it.
We go.
But if we don't get interviews with the MyPillow guy, I mean, that's
– Let me tell you something. Mike Lindell of MyPillow.
MyPillow.
Machine worshipable. Patented Phil. This guy, if you can get him on for an interview –
We can help you try to set that up. He's amazing.
He's great, man. We've partnered with MyPillow. Use TDC code, by the way. Yeah, anybody out there who wants to buy MyPillow,
yeah, he'll give you
TDC
a smoke.
Hit the bell with these cheap plugs these guys are throwing.
It's the best discount you'll get out there. But this guy, honestly,
I own one. Sorry.
He's the most dynamic dude ever. You wouldn't believe it. He's a former crackhead. And he went on a 14-day binge.
Or 19. Right? We're not sure.
Yeah, he's not sure either.
Yeah.
But he came out of this thing with a renewed.
Well, you know, once you hit the 2 week point in a crack.
Well,
vendor.
He said to us, he's like, I'm sure it's 19 days, but it just sounds like too much, so I say 14. And it was like, all right, dude. And then his crack dealer was like, dude, no more. I can't sell you anymore.
They had an intervention.
I can't do it. His crack dealer.
All three of the main crack dealers in Minnesota.
Akin to Bob getting cut off at an all inclusive resort.
Yeah,
it's there you go. I know that happened.
Like, for your own good, dude, we got to stop you. That was their message to him. So he stopped, and then he got to thinking, you know what? I'm just not getting a good night's sleep. And so it became his mission to create the greatest pillow, and, I mean, the guy's created an empire.
Yeah. It's an amazing story, and his honesty is unbelievable. We talked to him for an hour one day, and it was – we were on the ground laughing at his stories about, I almost died. I was fishing and what was he saying? I broke through the ice and I thought I was going to die.
It was only the duck's warmth saved him. He was duck hunting.
He was duck hunting.
Yeah. point
duck's
is.
Duck's warmth saved what?
The duck's warmth saved
him. Dude, it was like the, what's the Han Solo and Luke's
guy? Tauntaun.
Yeah, it was like the Tauntaun thing. It saved his life. It's crazy.
We've got an eclectic mix of interviews, though. If you go to our website under Interact, you'll see some show samples and interviews and things that we've done.
Yeah. I noticed Guilfoyle was in your
Yeah.
Your intro.
Yeah, yeah.
Martin Starr
yep.
plays Guilfoyle on
interesting guy.
On Silicon Valley. And we talked to him forever. He was great.
Oh, he's a great dude.
Yeah, yeah. Wookie really Will interviewed good. Him. Well, Wookie Will knew him from way back
yeah.
to his early stuff. So he's like, I go, you interview him, Michael. What are we gonna say to him? You're awesome in the like, show like that we Silicon like Valley, watching. Thanks, yeah. You know, like, we're horrible interviewers. That's why I'm like, I give you guys all the credit in the world because I wouldn't even, like, the My Pillow guy going, yeah, I cool. sleep on your pillow. That's yeah. pretty cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a patented fill, huh? Yeah. No, if you just do a little research on him, though, you'd find some interesting stuff.
We don't like doing that.
Yeah. Well.
Like, did you see, like, the Thundercats autograph we got?
No.
I so, like, it's the one. Voice of Lion-O, like,
Larry
Thunder.
Kenny.
Thundercats.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's also Cocoa Fruity, or Cocoa Crispies.
He's Cocoa Pebbles.
What?
He's Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Cuckoo wow. for Cocoa Puffs.
He was yeah. the best week ever guy.
From VH1. He was the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Taste That's the rainbow, good. Skittles.
Sure.
He's that wow. voice now. So, but here's the thing. Like, when we're talking to him, he's dropping this stuff. Like, I was this voice. My eyes are lighting up and my jaw's dropping because this is why I like doing these interviews.
Yeah.
And I go, I don't want to do homework because I want you to tell me something I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I know you're Lion-O. That's amazing. How did you get to be Lion-O? You know yeah. what I mean? Like, I don't know what to ask these guys, you know, but then they start telling stories and then it all sounds
You've
great.
Got the gift for gab. You could read a couple articles.
We're good BSers. We're not good interviewers. So that's, you know, we could BS. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The obvious question, because I mean, we get asked all the time, and I'm like, you see there's cameras in the studios and we're starting to play with that nonsense. Like, are you guys looking at doing video at some point as well?
You know, we've always had a YouTube video hooked up. We haven't really pushed it.
No. We should have been.
Yeah. So you can check us out on YouTube. Very small sliver of our audience does, but it's up. We figured, what the hell? We're sitting here anyway. We might as well turn on a camera.
Yeah, and we went to two cameras, but it's hard to do – like it gets expensive when you're doing
– Oh, yeah.
When you want to have someone directing it.
Actually
and
producing it.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of juice to, well, get it, to get it to go back
that's
up.
That's why I like these because they focus in on whoever's talking. Like,
oh,
so
do
you
they?
Don't, yeah, so you don't yeah. need to worry about – yeah.
So it's like Cisco telepresence. Yeah, whoever's talking gets the screen.
Well, we've been told in some of the tech meetings we've had that, guys, YouTube is where it's at. You got to get more active on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Google. You know, everything's controlled by Google. So
right.
SEO, Google, YouTube, right? Buzzwords.
Totally.
Yeah. Social media.
We tried we know all YouTube this stuff. Thing, just putting audio on YouTube. We got like 4 listens from that.
Well, I mean, we tried the little short clips and that kind of stuff for a while, either before or after the show that we would do something. And
we were doing pre-show. It's like 2-minute clips.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, nobody watched.
Yeah, we're doing a bit more of it. We're farming it around a bit.
Yeah.
That's one of Biggie's tasks at the moment is trying to clip down some stuff each day and get it out there.
And it's hard. You never know what's going to grab someone.
Right.
Like we'll have stuff that we know is good. It's funny. It's relevant. And we
crickets.
Put it out there, and it's crickets. And then there's something just dumb, and it's got 1,000 views. And you're like, what? This makes no sense.
What
this
is wrong
madness.
With you people?
Yeah, you just don't understand it.
You so have no
just,
taste.
Right. Yeah, so we're just trying to start it and keep going. And
today was a fight
on
with me and Dave on the Facebook page on who could put any clips post up. We try to do this whole, like, don't post over each other, like, 2-hour increments. I totally messed that up today. But, like, no, I got one. No, my mind's funnier. No, no, no. And we, like, sit here and, like, fight on who can, like, get the post up, you know. But, it, you know, just getting that crap out, it's just one of those.
Well, but, I mean,
it's a lot of work.
Dude, video is so much more intensive than audio. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's, like, honestly, that's, like, we've told, you know, like, our folks that, you know, want to do video, that's great. We'll give you the raw file. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
We're not touching it. Like, that's just not going to be a thing.
Well, I love, like, long-form interviews. Like, that's my thing. Like, if I'm interested in a topic, I'll watch an hour of someone being interviewed, but the kids won't. And so you have to cater
these
to
damn
them.
Kids today.
And it's like they'd rather watch 21-minute increments than a 20-minute interview.
Yep.
And that's so foreign to me. I just don't understand, like, why you would want to go through that process. But apparently they do.
Sounded like an old man.
I know, right? I do. I understand that.
That's right. Get off my lawn.
Short attention span, kids.
You and your damn music.
Yeah. You know who else we talked to? Was the guy you wanted us to talk to, Rhino.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, here, yeah.
Finally, he was a bitch to get, like, nailed down.
He was
great.
Great guy, yeah.
He was
local
amazing.
Guy.
And he promised us he'd do a remote with us, and he'd gore E.
Beautiful.
Yeah. He said he would. He'd take a full running thing at him and just like head to the gut and take him down.
You've been following him? He was like SmackDown Tag Champs, the first one.
They don't watch. I actually do watch. So I was telling them, like, dude, you guys realize that he has been a champion as of like recently. He's not just some nobody. He's on Raw, he was big right?
No, he's on the Raw roster.
No, I know, but I'm just saying you didn't know that.
We probably didn't appreciate it.
No, probably not.
Which would have made me nervous anyway.
What did so you got to Ted DiBiase?
We did.
Yeah, we had him the other day.
It was amazing.
Great.
Yeah?
Guy.
Yeah, he was great. He's
like
great.
Some church pastor now.
Yeah, not if you don't ask him about it. He's
okay,
not.
Okay, all right.
Steer the conversation where you want it to go, and then we don't even get
so
to
So tell me about Virgil.
Yeah, did you talk to him about – did you know this whole thing with Virgil, what like this whole lonelyvirgil.net or something? Because like he bullies his way into these trade shows, and no one gets autographs from him, and everybody takes pictures of him alone, and it's become like a meme. It's become a thing. You're laughing.
Well, Jay mentioned Virgil in our interview with him, and it was kind of uncomfortable.
Well, I actually asked him, like, could the Million Dollar Man thing happen today, you know, and with the whole Virgil thing, you know?
I think you called him a manslave or manservant.
Could you be the rich white guy with the
– Yeah. I mean, come on. That's – no, it couldn't.
And he agreed, though. He was like, yeah, probably not.
See, the best things were when – I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember his vignettes when he would like bring kids in the ring, and if he goes, if you could bounce his basketball 10 times,
we talked to him about that.
Yeah. And then he kick it. And he goes, I did my best. Your best wasn't good enough. They were just classic. Yeah.
He met that kid later.
Did he really?
Yes, dude.
He talks about that in the interview we did.
Like 20 years later, he's renting a car from an airport, and this black guy, walks up behind him, and he's like, "Do you remember me?" And Ted's like, no.
Right.
He's like, holy shit. Are you kidding me? That's you. That was the kid. And he said, I ended up going to college on a basketball scholarship.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. If people that don't know, he asked a kid in the audience, if you can dribble this basketball 15 times, I'll give you $500.
Yeah.
The kid gets to 14, and Ted kicks the ball out of his hands, so he never gets to 15.
Right.
And then he's like, tough lesson in life, son. You know, when you fail, you don't get the reward. And this little kid's just like, meh. He walks away back to his seat.
Yeah, he wasn't acting. That was real stuff.
Yeah, but that's awesome, though, that he met him all those years later. And
that's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, he was doing I don't know if it was stand-up comedy or spoken word.
He was doing like the one-man show thing. Like Mick Foley did. And So I guess like what's on deck? Like what's next for you guys? Like what do you got coming up?
We got Big E heading out to the East Coast this week.
He's going to New York.
He's going to go mess around a little bit. He does that from time to time, goes on ventures, and then reports back to us.
Yeah, we're sending him there for the Colin Kaepernick. There's a protest or rally going on. So we're sending him into the Lion's Den. We'll send him with a microphone and a microphone.
Pro Colin or Anti?
They want him in the league.
We got to weigh this a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
this is
given the tenor of recent.
I don't
protests,
really want to get punched in the face or killed.
He has an amazing grill. Look at his grill.
Wear a red "Make America Great Again" hat.
Yeah. No,
you'll be fine.
I don't think that's a good idea. I don't.
We have to play this one carefully.
Yeah, we could literally get his ass kicked by going into that crowd with Spike Lee and all them and trying to make fun of them for.
No, when Kaepernick came out and said, you know, hey, I'm not going to play for the NFL anymore.
I'm choosing not to play in the NFL this year.
I'm
choosing not to bang Sofia Vergara.
Sure.
I'm
choosing that as well.
Yeah, we made that right here live in person. Hey, I'm not sleeping with Heather Graham.
Sure.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. Why doesn't he go play CFL? He stands for the anthem. No problems there. Everybody's happy.
And he gets his name back and he can come back.
Well,
to the
honestly,
NFL
here's my whole take on the thing, and I've said this a million times, is my problem with that entire issue is strictly from a pragmatic business perspective. Like, you are, like, so just eliminate names and all that stuff. You have an employee who is using an employer's social media platform and social platforms to put out their own message that is then causing blowback on employer.
My man, Dave.
Yeah, see, this is right into Jay's.
Who's in favor of that?
See, this is bullshit, and here's why. I don't think the NFL cares if you've murdered or beat people as long as you help them win.
It's not that he's protesting. It's that he's not that good.
Yeah.
Because if he was that good,
I know,
he'd put up with it.
He'd have a helmet.
Yeah. Well, you could make an argument that the 49ers were the worst team in the NFL last year, so his stats look even that much worse. But on game film, I watched every Niner game last year. His tape is not good. Could he be one of three quarterbacks on a team? So you're telling me he's not one of the top 96 players?
Right.
Jacksonville's got Bortles and Henny. You mean to tell me?
Yeah.
The quality of the backup quarterback and below is toilet.
Yeah.
From what it, you know.
But if he's starting quarterback caliber, run at it. But a backup or a third string.
You mean to tell me you can't be third string on the Jets?
Argonauts.
Well, but then you look at it from the Jets' perspective.
Distraction.
Is it worth having him as your third stringer? Yeah.
Same reason as signing Tebow, and then your whole entire locker room becomes a circus.
Well, it's like I said, you know, nobody – I don't remember rallies for the guy that worked for the company that ran Chrysler's social media account.
My man Dave.
That, you know, tweeted out people in this town can't effing drive from the Chrysler account instead of his own.
You could spin the Kaepernick story, though.
Oh.
You can spin it. He's never been arrested. He's never been –
You're supposed to!
But he also raises millions of dollars for inner city kids. He's got programs teaching inner city youth how to deal with the police.
Awesome.
And the 49ers matched him dollar for dollar.
At the end of the day, assuming no collusion, it's up to the employer, the individual team owners to go, yeah, do I want to put up with that distraction or not? No, he's just not worth it.
Yeah.
You got sales guys in my business that are the biggest dicks you'd ever meet. And sometimes they're just not – they might bring in revenue, but they're just not worth bringing in.
It's not worth the headache. It's not worth the inevitable HR lawsuit.
I'm not saying he's a dick. I'm just using an analogy. It's just saying, you know, hey, he might be okay. He might be – but it's sometimes just not because of the circus you're going to get, you know.
Yeah.
But then you got guys – here's the thing. Now it's become a thing. Michael Bennett. There's a few other guys. And now it's like since he was the first, he gets the most shit. The guys now, nobody cares. Nobody cares. No, did you even know Michael Bennett doesn't?
Who's Michael Bennett?
DN for the Seahawks. There's a couple other guys.
Lynch, the running back.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch for the Raiders.
Did you know?
He hasn't stood for the anthem in 11 years.
Right.
He's been sitting on the bench for 11 years.
They didn't even come out for the anthem until 9 years ago. Yeah. So it's not even they've been in a locker room. It's not even a thing. But he was the first one to do it, and then media told us we need to be offended or not offended, depending on what
I think one of the big problems, man, is Kaepernick did not articulate what his cause was very clearly, or he didn't have people do that for him. He didn't go on interviews and articulate what that was, but instead just let it be kind of like thrown out there generally that that's what he was supporting.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's that connection. Yeah.
That's the sad thing with a lot of those people, though.
Yeah.
You can't really
be the face of a cause if the cause isn't very well defined. You know, or you don't have those talking points, that kind of stuff, because it does. It becomes an issue and it gets muddy. And then it's, oh, well, I interpret it to be this. And now I interpret it to be that.
And then it's political.
Yeah.
And it's not his obligation to come out at this point, but it would probably help his cause if he did.
Totally.
If he sat on 60 Minutes and explained exactly why he did what he did, I guarantee he gained some following.
For sure he would. The problem with him is he's never been good at talking to the media. From his rookie year, he's been lousy with the media. It's been an issue in the locker room.
No, but this country –
he's a bad sport when he loses.
If this country tells you anything, it's that you could do pretty much anything if you come out on 60 Minutes or YouTube and be like
– I'm sorry.
No, I really meant to be nice, but I don't know what happened. Everyone will love you after – like it doesn't take much.
Momentary lapse of judgment.
Oh, yeah.
They try to interview those people and they never have any substance.
No.
That's a general blanket statement.
And they're taught that. I mean, they're coached to do that, to not give them anything.
Yeah, be vague.
To be boring, vague.
Yep.
Great game. Guys played hard. We'll get them next time.
Like, it's the same shit, and they're taught that.
Yeah.
Stay out of trouble.
All right, well, hey, where do we find you guys?
DetroitCast.com. You can find us on the podcast apps, any of them.
iTunes.
Podcast Detroit.
Podcast Detroit.
Podcast Detroit. Yeah, we're on Podcast Detroit.
We're all over the place.
Yeah.
Look for Detroit Cast.
Yep.
Awesome.
Thanks, and good luck. I hope you guys take home
the tech one too.
Well,
that'd be awesome.
Since we can't manipulate the vote, I don't know how else we're going to help each other. I thought this was like you plug us, we'll plug you.
No, it's not. Yeah, there's no internet voting.
That sucks.
I can't get Osgood in the All-Star game this time. No.
That was you?
Yeah. But hey, this is going to wrap things up for episode 210 here at the IT in the D Show. We'd like to thank our guests, Jim Beiermeister from the RMC Agency, Jay, Mike, and Big E from Detroit Cast. Thanks, Randy, for doing the Twitters. On behalf of Bob and Dave and Nuri's Ghost, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks.
Nuri's Blind Ghost.
Oh, and thank you to Eero, by the way, for keeping the lights on. We really appreciate you. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you soon. Beat it.
System is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy. Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. It's game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joel, the chief. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet. It's brilliant. Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.